It's time for Health Matters on WJEJ. Health Matters airs every week at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. A presentation of Washington County Hospital.
And good morning, everyone. Lou Scali live with Dr. Mark Rulli. Good morning, Mark.
Oh, good morning, Lou. Good morning to everyone. Oh, thanks so much for joining us today on Health Matters, because we've got more good stuff to talk about, Lou.
Yes, we do. It's a topic that I think affects a lot of people. Matter of fact, these days, it seems like more and more people are affected by the topic we're going to be talking about today.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about diabetic foot and some of the treatment and things that you should be doing. And, of course, diabetes is one of those things that's very prevalent in our area.
But first, as always, at the top of the show, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in show. You can call us at 739-2323, area code 301, and toll-free, 1-800-265-0057. And if for some reason you can't call in today and you missed something on the program, you can always listen to the program on the Washington County Hospital website, because we have backlogged several editions of Health Matters for you, for your convenience.
Absolutely. We've probably got 3 or 4 years of material back there.
You could dump all the tunes out of your iPod and just go around and listen to Dr. Mark Rulli and yours truly for days and days.
My wife was telling me I was just a little bit difficult to jog to.
Yeah, I guess, well, and it's not very easy to dance to, but very informative, I might say.
There you go.
Speaking of that, at the top of the show, we always like to talk about the events going on at the hospital, and tell us what's happening, Mark.
Well, you know, certainly as we hit the end of the summer here and we're heading into fall, we have a lot of things going on. One of the things that goes on a fairly regular basis at the hospital is the 55 Up group. And we have a topic and a date for that. August 22nd is the next 55 Up group meeting. And the topic is going to be a guide to clinical trials. And what's great about this is that the presenter, Mr. Tom Pianta, is going to be able to explain all of the different clinical trials. These are research-based kinds of things that we're doing here in Washington County. And what's wonderful for folks is they may find that there's a topic that they would like to be involved in the clinical trial. And, of course, when you're involved in a clinical trial, the treatment's free and everything that is taken care of. So it's a great opportunity. Some people may be interested just because it's interesting to them. Other people may be interested in the topic because they might actually find something they get to participate in. So that's August 22nd. There's a $9 fee. That's for lunch. That's in room 142 out at Robinwood, like always, and you can call our number at 301-790-8907 to register.
All right, very good. And, of course, all of the programs are on the website, so do check that out on a regular basis. And it's also published in the newspaper on a regular basis, also all the upcoming peripheral events at the hospital.
Yes, we have all of those things and all of those different ways to get information to people. Also want to take time to mention to folks as well that let's not forget the free breast cancer screenings that are going on. There was one this past Saturday out at the Walnut Street Family Practice Community Health Fair, but we have one coming up on Friday, August 18th. Out at the Women's Specialty Associates at Robinwood Medical Center. That's from noon to 4 p.m. And then there's also one later on this month on Friday, August 31st. That's going to be at the Hagerstown Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Church, their community health fair. So there are opportunities here, and as you always point out, Lou, nobody should ever go without screening. There's no reason to, because all of this is done on a sliding scale, so if you can't afford it, you can get it free.
All right, and again, if you don't have insurance, or you find yourself in a situation where your insurance doesn't cover a lot of these areas, certainly they can work out things, and that is funded through the Coleman
Foundation. The Suman G. Coleman Foundation,
yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. So, is our caregiver seminar over?
It's not over. Actually, okay. It's coming up here in September. We've got this caregiver seminar coming up, which is a great thing to be happening again in our community, because this is the opportunity for people who are giving care to other people. It's this great opportunity for them to learn about how to do that, learn about how to deal with the stress, and some of the other things that they're going to be faced with. This is Thursday, September 14th. And again, you can call the Education Center at Washington County Hospital at 301-790-8907. Get more details on that. There's a $15 charge for that. And you've got a full day of activity and learning that's taking place on September 14th.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mark.
All right, now it's time to get to our guests, because I know we're going to have a lot of phone calls, so I'd urge people, call in early if you have questions. Our guest today is Dr. Dan Michaels, and Dr. Michaels, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thank you very much for having me this morning. I appreciate it.
We want to talk about foot care, diabetic foot care. And I guess we really need to start at the beginning here and just tell us a little bit about diabetes. It's obviously a big, big problem. It's a big problem here in Western Maryland. So what really is diabetes? What's happening in the body? And then we'll get to why it affects the foot.
Well, diabetes is elevation of blood sugar, and that causes numerous problems in the body. And you're right, this area in Western Maryland is ground zero in the state of Maryland for diabetes. There's more patients with diabetes in this area than anywhere else in the state, and that's why we're focusing on this. Now, anytime, it's a very simple thing. You have high blood sugar in the body, and that causes a lot of different problems, and it affects the foot quite a lot because the foot is so far away from the rest of the body. There's a lot of real estate between the thigh and the leg for damage to occur to the nerves and the arteries. So as high blood sugar occurs throughout the body, that causes the blood vessels to get clogged with fat, and so you have poor blood flow. It also causes the nerves to swell, and the nerves don't work then when they get swelled up on you, so you have numb feet. And also it causes the immune system to stop working very well. So if you get a nick or a cut on your foot, walking barefoot, or you get a burn walking on hot concrete in the summertime, then you could get an infection. You may not feel it because your nerves don't work. You may not be able to fight off the infection because your immune system doesn't work, and the blood doesn't get down to your foot because your arteries are clogged from the high sugar.
Now, one of the obvious questions that I have, because we're talking about your foot being far away, is how come you don't hear about people with diabetic fingers? How come you always hear about foot? Because your fingers are far away also.
The fingers are far away, but the feet are further away. And therefore, if you look at the lower back, the nerves and the arteries kind of originate in that area, and they go all the way down to the feet. Now, the if you look in the neck, the nerves go all the way down to the fingertips, but there is just a further distance from the lower back to the feet than from the neck to the hands.
Okay, tell us, what's the difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes, and what do we need to be more concerned about?
Well, type 2 diabetes is usually adult onset diabetes, and there's a lot of research going into this right now. They're finding out that there's a certain subset of type 2 diabetes, the people who are adults who get diabetes, that if they just work out every, 3 or 4 times a week, they would not have type 2 diabetes. So type 1 diabetes is usually the juvenile onset. You're born with it. There's really nothing anyone can do about that type of diabetes. That's not really dictated by lifestyle decisions. It's kind of something that's been dealt to you. Usually younger people, children, have this type of diabetes. And type 2 is the one that we really focus on right now because there's such an epidemic and there's so many people that have that. And it's really a lifestyle disease where sedentary lifestyles, overeating, and really, it boils down to we're essentially eating ourselves to death by just consuming too many calories and not enough nutrition. The extra weight goes on, and then, these certain subset of people who don't exercise, who have the extra weight, get diabetes, or just the extra weight that's itself can cause this.
So, I mean, here we are talking about lifestyle issues, and I guess that kind of moves us right into the prevention piece, and kind of in a nutshell, and I think we'll deal with it a little bit later in the show, but in a nutshell, if people did what, we could prevent diabetes.
Well, there's a lot of research going on now with calorie restriction, and that just means eating less, but that's a simple way to look at it. What it means is really getting the same amount of nutrition or extra nutrition, but with less calories. And if people did that, then the type 2 diabetic epidemic that we're in right now would be gone. But it's harder to do that than meets the eye, essentially, because we live in an affluent society with readily available nutrients and foods, and a lot of things taste good, and then our lifestyles are becoming more and more sedentary. And unfortunately, our body is really designed to be a high-performance machine. We're not really designed to sit and look at computer screens all day. We've been designed to plow the field and work out and hunt and gather and do things like that, and that's how we've evolved. Unfortunately, our lifestyles now are pretty sedentary, so it takes extra effort and discipline to get out and do a lot of the extra work that's needed to maintain a healthy body.
Well, hopefully we'll have time toward the end of the show to talk a little bit more about the prevention aspect. Tell us about the foot, though. So what's going on in the foot? We know the foot's going to be a problem, probably, with diabetics. What's happening there in the foot, and what do we need to do about it?
Well, because of the three main problems, the immune function, the poor blood flow, and the poor nerve function, those things affect the foot in many different ways. Now, people have heard of bunions and hammer toes, and those can occur in people who don't have diabetes. But with people with diabetes, having poor nerve function can cause those things to develop. And if you get a foot deformity where you have a bone sticking out, that can cause a callus. Now, if you have a callus on your foot and you have diabetes, that can be a potentially problematic thing for you, because a callus is a sign that there's too much pressure in that area. And if there's too much pressure, you could break down. The skin could break down and a hole could form. A hole in the skin is called an ulcer. And an ulcer is the first stage of getting an infection and cellulitis, or just an infection in the foot, which can lead to amputation. And what we focus on is prevention, and that's really the most important thing. A lot of these problems can be prevented with just some simple care. Proper foot gear, having a regular exam by a qualified foot specialist once or twice a year, or more often if you have problems. And taking care of your blood sugar, controlling that, because if you have low blood sugar or a normal blood sugar, your nerves will work better, your blood flow will be better. So really we focus on a two-prong approach. One is prevention, so we don't have problems, and that if problems do occur, we study, we have our doctors have gone all over the country to learn how to deal with these problems, and then we can complete and fix the problems that occur in this area without having to send patients away to Georgetown or to Johns Hopkins. They can have their tertiary care or their advanced care out here in Hagerstown.
And welcome back to Health Matters. We're talking with Dr. Dan Michaels. We're talking about diabetic foot care, and before we left, we were talking about some of the general things going on with diabetes. You started to get into, we need to take care of our feet. So let's talk specifically about our feet. And let me remind our audience, of course, too, that this is a live show. You can call in and you can talk to Dr. Michaels here, 301-739-2323 or 1-800-265-0057. Dr. Michaels, what do we need to do to take care of our feet? If we're a diabetic, we need to be really careful and sensitive about what we do with our feet. So what are some of the precautionary things we need to do?
Well, the number one thing is to take a foot inspection every day of your feet. You need to look at your foot in between your toes, around the toenails. You need to look at the bottom of your feet. And if you can't see the bottom of your feet because you don't have the flexibility or the eyesight to do that, have a friend or family member look at your feet. And what you're looking for are foreign objects, pins, needles, sores, calluses, any kind of redness, any kind of bleeding or oozing, any kind of deformity or any kind of problem that can occur. You need to go directly to your foot specialist immediately, because these things don't heal with a Band-Aid. They don't heal with Neosporin. You'll make it worse if you soak it. So you need to have professional help to heal these things. And the reason normal kind of care doesn't work on these is because the three things: the immune system, the poor blood flow, and the nerves don't work. And when you add those together, the normal things that you would do for a wound really don't apply. So you need professional help to deal with these problems. And the sooner you get it, the better off you're going to be.
What you're bringing up, I think, is a real important point for people to recognize, and I guess it leads into what I was looking at some things on the internet the other day, and they said if you have corns or calluses, don't use commercial foot remedies for this. Tell me why don't we want to do that? What's the problem with the normal stuff we would use before we had diabetes?
Well, if you have a corn or a callus or a bunion or a hammer toe and you don't have diabetes, if they don't bother you, you really don't need to do much about it. But if you have diabetes, these things can cause major problems, and you shouldn't really use any over-the-counter products unless you have gone to your foot care specialist and asked them about that particular product, because certain products, for example, the corn pad removers, have acid in them. And because you have diabetes, your nerves may not work very well, and you could burn a hole in your skin if you use some of these products, and that would lead to a wound that may not heal, that could lead to an infection, you know, and it could spiral downwards from there. Also, because the nerves affect every part of your foot, they also affect the oil glands and the sweat glands. So you may notice that your feet and skin can get dry and cracked with diabetes. So you need to supplement those oils and nutrients and moisture with a good foot lotion. That's another preventative thing. Every day, once or twice a day, if you need to, foot lotion that doesn't have perfumes, dyes, or a whole lot of chemicals should be used on your feet, ankles, lower legs. And you could do this while you inspect your feet, as you should be doing every day. And depending on the severity of your diabetes and the deformity of your feet, you may need to come in to see your foot specialist once a year, twice a year, or once every 2 weeks. It just depends, and that's something that your foot specialist will determine. They will place you in a risk category and basically develop a customized protocol for you, especially for your foot deformities.
You were mentioning when you were talking about things people should look for when they inspect their feet, pins and needles, and I was thinking to myself, gee whiz, does the diabetic person not know if they've got an injury to their foot? So could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, as your diabetes causes your sugar to rise, and sugar causes your nerves to get swelled on you. When the nerves swell up like that, they don't work very well, and therefore you don't have a lot of feeling in your feet. So yeah, the normal person who walks in the playground with a pebble in their shoe would take off their shoe and take out the pebble. Well, if you get a pebble in your shoe and you have diabetes, you may not know that you have a pebble in your shoe and you walk around it on it all day, and it could develop a big sore for you. So because the sensation isn't there in the foot, you can have a lot of problems with that, and you may not know that you have a problem. That's why you need to look at your feet every day. Also, because the nerves affect the muscles in the foot, the muscles may not work appropriately, and that can lead to the formation of contracted toes, and if a toe gets contracted, that could be called a hammer toe. And if you have a bony prominence, that can rub on your shoe. And shoes, by the way, are one of the most important things that you can wear on your feet. You should not go barefoot. Shoes can really make or break the diabetic foot, because if they fit well and they're made well, they'll help protect the foot. However, I've had patients who have decided to wear a pair of dress shoes to church on Sunday because they wanted to dress up. And it wasn't a good shoe. It didn't fit well for their foot. It was an older shoe, and it rubbed a hole in their foot, and they ended up having an amputation of a toe from that. So shoes can be your biggest ally or your worst enemy, depending on how they fit and how they feel. As a matter of fact, patients who have Medicare and have diabetes are entitled to special diabetic shoes as a covered benefit under Medicare. Certain other insurance plans may cover this as well, and they do that because they know that it prevents major problems for diabetic patients. So it's very important to have a foot specialist look at your shoes and determine which ones are good and which ones you should not really wear or stay away from.
So I'm hearing a couple things here from you. One is it might be a great idea to talk to your foot specialist first before you go out to buy shoes so that they can give you some tips and hints on how to find the right shoes, and that there are also shoes out there that are made especially for diabetics. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've had a lot of training in the surgical area, but we also have focused on the shoe area as well, because we know the biomechanics of the foot and we know what seems to work well and what doesn't. We also know the local areas around here where you can go and get good shoes that aren't going to hurt your feet. So by utilizing us as a resource for that, you can help prevent a lot of foot problems for yourself.
Great. Well, we've got a caller on the line, so let's head right to the phones. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Dr. Michaels?
Couple. First of all, my wife was recently diagnosed with type 2. And then, but back in her youth, she had frostbite on both feet and the toes. And I'm sure that affects the nerve endings and also some circulation. Now, with those two conditions, is there anything special she should be doing, or should she have her feet examined or something like that?
Yes, that basically she may have sustained damage to her toes and her feet from that cold injury, and that may have placed her in a higher risk category. So she was just diagnosed with diabetes. Well, you add together that plus the previous injury, that could put her in a category of having diabetes maybe for 5 or 10 years. So therefore, she would just need to be seen a little more often, and a customized foot care regimen would need to be developed by a qualified foot specialist in the area, and I think that would prevent a lot of problems for her.
And your second question, sir?
Well, now I also have on my feet a tendency towards porokeratomas. Is there a tendency for her for that type of thing, the enlarged sweat glands and...
Yeah, the porokeratoma that you mentioned has been previously thought to be an enlarged sweat gland, but essentially it's a callus that grows into the skin, and it's very small, and they're very painful. And so she may be at risk for developing those because, again, the diabetes causes those nerves to swell. The nerves don't work very well, so the sweat glands don't produce their oil and their moisture. So their feet dry out, and if your feet are dry, you have a more greater chance, actually, of developing calluses and IPKs or porokeratoses, depending on what term you would like to use to describe that. But, by the way, if you do get those, they're easy to take care of, and there are a couple new methods out that can be used in the office same day, and they're basically gone for the rest of your life if you use the new technology.
Well, I go, myself, I go to podiatrist, anyway.
Okay.
So does that answer your question, sir?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Let's go back to the idea about the shoes, if we may. You'd mentioned there are special diabetic shoes. There must be something special about those shoes, and maybe they'll be clues for people if they're looking for other kinds of shoes that would be good for their feet.
Well, yeah, it's hard to describe over the radio exactly how to test a good shoe, but there are three main things you can do. You can take the toe area, and you can take the heel area. Try twisting it, and if it doesn't twist very easily, that's good. You want that stability. You can also take the forefoot area, the toe area, and the heel area and try to bend it at the toes. And if it doesn't bend very easily, that's a good shoe. And then also, the third thing, you take the heel cup, the heel counter, you know, and squeeze it from medial to lateral. And if it doesn't squeeze very easily, if there's some rigidity there, that's a good shoe. So those are the three ways to tell an over-the-counter shoe if it's good or if it's bad. Now, the special diabetic shoes are... They have all those characteristics. However, they have a few additional characteristics. Many are lined with silver. Believe it or not, silver kills bacteria, it kills fungus, it kills viruses. And they line these shoes to keep these shoes fairly clean for the diabetic foot. Also, they have usually a Lycra forefoot area, where Lycra is a mesh, it's a flexible material, so if you have a toe deformity, the toe doesn't rub on like the leather upper. It would be accommodated by a flexible forefoot area. In addition to that, they're extra deep. So from the bottom to the top of the shoe, there's more room in there to accommodate the toes. So those are the three things that you can look for in an over-the-counter shoe, and those are the three characteristics that the diabetic shoes usually have. And now with the newer generations of the diabetic shoes that that we carry, they look just like any other shoe. They look like tennis shoes or running shoes, and they look really nice. They don't look like the old black orthopedic shoes that they used
to. So we have style back into the diabetic shoe.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety, a lot of style, so people don't have to be embarrassed about wearing these, and oftentimes you never know that they're a special type of shoe.
Well, let's take just a minute, and can you tell us what people should avoid in shoes that are just the commercial shoes? Are obviously the flexibility issue is one thing, but is there anything else that like heels?
Yeah, there are several things that you want to avoid. Pointy, really tight shoes, pointy toed shoes, and shoes that don't breathe very well. There's a lot of tennis shoes out there that are leather and they're very hot. The best type of tennis shoe to wear would be a running shoe. The running shoes are made better. They have holes in them that allow ventilation so the feet don't get hot. And I believe that by not getting the foot hot, it helps decrease the amount of pathology or problems that a foot can have. So, you know, that's really the main thing about shoes, but also, you know, you really need to take a look at your feet, inspect your feet every day, and notice that if there are any bony deformities or hammer toes or bunions or bony prominences, or, you know, those things can produce pain, they can produce skin breakdown, and those need to be dealt with by a foot specialist. And you need to have those evaluated to determine if you can have those accommodated with special shoe gear or inserts or orthotics, arch supports, or if you need to have those removed. And, you know, by removing them, you really eliminate a lot of the problems that can occur down the road. So, You know, it's basically a fine line between accommodation and removal, but the main focus should be on prevention, preventing any of these problems that can occur, because there's no need for people that have diabetes to have ulcers and amputations. It's totally preventable.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Dr. Dan Michaels is our guest today. We're talking about the diabetic foot, and we want to talk about neuropathy. That's a subject that you think is pretty important, and you've got some information for us.
Yeah, like I said, the diabetes can affect the nerves, and sometimes those nerves go numb, but oftentimes the nerves become painful. And when nerves become painful, a lot of times people go to doctors to get treatment, and I see very often that they come to me, and they've been told by numerous doctors that there's nothing they can do for the diabetic neuropathy or the painful tingling numbness they have in their feet. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. There are so many new techniques and medications and modalities that we can do now to take away that diabetic neuropathy type pain that people haven't been given or they haven't tried yet. So I just want to emphasize that you don't have to live with the pain if you have that type of pain. And if you have poor blood flow, you know, there's no reason to live with that either. There's so many new things that can be done to increase the blood flow back to the feet. So, you know, even though some of these problems can develop, they can be fixed, and that can lead to increased quality of life. I have patients that don't have good blood flow, and they can't walk very far because their legs hurt. And so what we normally do for that is we send them over to the blood flow lab at the hospital to find out where is the clogged artery. And then we work with a team of doctors in the area that can take away that clogged artery and restore the function of the leg. So a lot of these problems, although they're very, very severe, can be fixed. And, you know, when you're told there's nothing that can be done, that's just not true, because there's so many things that we can do now.
Well, I think it really points out to our audience the importance of having a consult with somebody like yourself who specializes in this kind of care and treatment so that they can be informed of all of the different options there are and not just listen to one person's opinion.
It's important to have a multidisciplinary team of vascular surgeons, podiatric surgeons, diabetic educators, nutritionists, and it takes a team to do this. Your internal medicine doctors need to be involved, and so that's what we do. We've attempted to establish a limb salvage team in the area that can deal with these problems here without having to send our patients up the road to Baltimore or D.C.
Dr. Dan Michaels, I want to thank you. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Great topic, a lot of interest.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time and the listeners. Thank you.
We've been talking with Dr. Dan Michaels, board-certified podiatrist from Reconstructive Foot and Ankle Institute here in Hagerstown. Please join us next week when we're talking with Dr. Kia Tisdale, and we're going to be talking about osteoporosis. That's Tuesday, August 22nd, 9:30 a.m. So on behalf of all of us at Washington County Hospital, and my co-host, Lou Scally, I wish you a good day and good health.
You've been listening to Health Matters. Health Matters airs every Tuesday at 9:30 and is a presentation of Washington County Hospital.